This morning, we heard a familiar reading from the Gospel of Mark, the healing of the blind beggar Bartimaeus. We continue the journey with Jesus as he and his disciples enter the region of Judea across the Jordan. His popularity continues to grow, and crowds of people keep following him. He doesn't hide from them, but engages them. He continues carrying out his mission of teaching and witnessing to them compassion and mercy in blessing and healing of their children. Despite the time which the disciples have spent with him, they still seem not to understand his message of what he is doing. In today's gospel, we become witnesses to three entities: Bartimaeus, the crowd which try to silence Bartimaeus, and I will also include the disciples in that group, and thirdly, Jesus. Each person and group have importance in telling of this gospel message, shedding light on the good news of Jesus' message. Even though the story takes place centuries ago, each one of these persons and groups exist in our world today. A few weeks ago, one of the women that I support at Cornerstone called on me, and she said, Reverend Hillary, can I talk to you? Despite her initial presentation of confidence in her physical attire, the woman's eyes expressed sadness, and her movement indicated much agitation. My response was, how can I help you? Others around me were also drawing on my attention and asking her to wait her turn. The woman became angry and raised her voice. In her anger, she accused me of not seeing her or caring about her. She said, I don't matter. No one ever wants to help me. I just want my voice to be heard and people to take me seriously. Every day, we are bombarded with media news about conflicts in neighborhoods, separation amongst families and community members, news conflicts in different layers of our society, and increasing conflicts between countries which are resulting in wars, which many are caught in the middle of, and many are dying, suffering, and are powerless to change the present state. Many people are calling out every day and trying to get their voices heard. So let us turn back for a moment to the Gospel of Mark. As I said, we met Bartimaeus. We met members of a crowd and the disciples. And I'm going to ask you this question. Who do you identify with? A little background about Bartimaeus. The word Bartimaeus translated means son of Timaeus, or son of honor, which is quite a contradiction to his state, which he's a blind beggar. Back then, the belief was that a person born blind was the result of someone's family, like generations back, having sinned and shame being carried down into the generations. So shame being carried down to the parents, and the result being a child being born with blindness. So given also that the fact that Bartimaeus is a beggar, it is understood that he was not only just not seen as a valued person in his society, but also he was abandoned by his family. Also, we heard that Jesus and the disciples entered into Jericho. Back then, Jericho was a very important city in the Jordan Valley. It was a strong fortress, and it was seen as the key city for Western Palestine. So for someone who's a beggar on the main road, just think of it as someone being, you know, a panhandler in a busy city streets. They usually did okay in terms of surviving. So some interesting things happen in this message today in terms of, one, Bartimaeus calling out to Jesus, but also in terms of what happens afterwards when he actually gets to go up to Jesus. But before we go there, let's talk about the crowd. So the crowd, so many, who knows how many hundreds of people, to them, Bartimaeus is invisible initially, but then when he becomes visible by them hearing him shouting out, he's not allowed or not seen as deserving to be able to, as he says, ask for mercy, to have a connection to Jesus. Because he's, again, remember, his blindness, he's seen as a sinner, right? He's not valued in their society. So he's not expected, or he's not valued enough, to worthy enough to be able to get close to Jesus. But I ask the question, are they not also sinners? What makes his value less than theirs? The other interesting person in this scenario is Jesus' response. He doesn't go to Bartimaeus. We hear that he stops and he stands still, but then he asks others to bring Bartimaeus to him. So in a sense, the crowd that is putting Bartimaeus down and trying to dismiss him, they are now put in a position of also carrying out Jesus' ministry in terms of giving mercy, helping to facilitate Bartimaeus receiving mercy from Jesus. Now, as I reflected further on this, I'm thinking, okay, well, yeah, they're very dismissive and they don't want to help Bartimaeus initially, but why is it that they, in a sense, were obedient to Jesus as a crowd? They could have said to Jesus, or just ignored Jesus, and then he would have had to go to Bartimaeus. But no, the community became engaged in actually following Jesus' direction and letting Bartimaeus, in terms of they probably were thinking to help bring him to Jesus. But an interesting thing happens. When, again, they're still a little bit cheeky when they can't go to Bartimaeus, in terms of how they approach him. One translation that I read was kind of like their response to him was like, okay, you're lucky today, you know, he's calling you type of thing. So they're not, you know, like they're following Jesus' direction, but they're still, I wouldn't say they're all of a sudden open arms. But Bartimaeus does something interesting. He jumps up, so they don't even have to help him go over to Jesus. He jumps up and he leaves everything. He throws off his cloak and he leaves everything and goes to Jesus. Now, just think about this for a minute. So if you can picture us being in this crowded street, even think of being downtown in the Rideau Street, where we see lots of people who are homeless with lots of bags. Like, that's all their possessions. And they're, you know, they keep it close at hand. I know with working at the shelter, our new shelter, you know, we have space confined, so people can't bring everything in. They have a limit of about 2 garbage bags at the most. But yet it's difficult for people coming in when we say they can only bring in 2 bags, and sometimes they just stay in the parking lot with all their stuff because they're afraid of losing everything. So just think of that. So here you are, here's Bartimaeus. He throws off his cloak, probably the only warm thing that he has. He leaves everything that he has to go to Jesus. He has no idea what's going to happen, whether or not, if he were to go back, will that stuff be there? Most likely, probably not. In a crowd like that, things will be gone. Putting it into our perspective, how many of you would just walk out of your door, your home, leaving all of your stuff, your worldly possessions, leaving everything there? You don't lock the door, you leave it wide open to follow a dream in terms of your path in following Christ. How many of you would do that? How many of us have that kind of faith in the unknown that we just leave everything behind? That's what Bartimaeus does. When he gets to Jesus, Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Good question. But he doesn't stumble. He says to Jesus, he asks right away to give him his sight. And it happens. Jesus doesn't at any point touch him, other than he says to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." A common thing that we hear Jesus say each time when he does healing, he usually tells the person either to go back to where they've come from and they're well, or he tells them to go to the priest to verify that they are fully healed. So that's nothing unusual. But the unusual thing, which I think is in many ways also a big part of this gospel message, is that Bartimaeus, he could have gone back, returned to start a new life. Now he can see, so he doesn't have to be a beggar anymore. But instead, he decides, so I think his intention from the beginning, his faith was that strong, to follow Jesus. So he continues on the journey with Jesus. So again, Bartimaeus had this strong faith. When he calls Jesus out and says, "Son of David," he is letting us know that he knows who Jesus is. Throughout his encounter, he is walking forward, letting everything of his past life, and he's walking into what I call that light. Yes, he got visual sight back, but that transformation, and for those also witnessing, I think there's a greater sight being given in terms of them seeing God's mercy in a broader, bigger way. So I ask you again, when you hear the story and you listen to, and we've met Bartimaeus, the crowd, so the people, and Jesus, who do you identify with? I can say for myself, there are moments when I'm Bartimaeus, like that client that I talked about earlier, where I don't feel like my voice is being heard, or I feel like I'm getting shuffled around and the crowd's getting lost. But there are times, too, when I am the crowd, dismissive, or not necessarily aware of how I'm being unkind, but maybe not necessarily seeing the people amongst me or in front of me. And it takes that conscious effort sometimes in the busyness of everything that's going on in my life or in my day to actually see someone and to take that moment to really hear them. But there are also other times that I'm not saying that I'm trying to be Jesus or to be God, but to emulate Jesus in terms of trying to be and to open up space to bring God's compassion and mercy into my world in supporting and being present for others. So I think all of us, again, is to ask that question, who do we identify with? The last thing that I will speak to is Jesus's actions. He uses the people who are dismissive, who are uncaring, who are judging Bartimaeus and not seeing him as worthy to receive God's mercy. He uses them in his actions to bring about mercy for Bartimaeus. So that's a transformation of the whole community. All of us as community working together. We don't have to hold this all on our own shoulders. Actually, in many ways, I think if we say, okay, I'm going to do it by myself, there's a problem, right? Then we're kind of like in that invincible kind of like feeling of we can do it and we're the important one. No, it takes a community of all of God's people to change, to open up space, to bring light and new vision into our world, whether or not it's in our neighborhood here in Orleans or at St. Helens. But I think even here, we can keep pushing out and speaking out and about and bringing God's mercy and love to all in Ottawa and around the world. It just takes courage. It takes faith. And even though we stumble and we fall, that's okay. We're not doing it on our own. God is present with us every way, step. Amen.